And if you've got your Bible there, if you could turn to the book of Revelation, and chapter 1. So Revelation chapter 1. I'm beginning a new series this morning. Obviously, I don't preach every week, but over the next few times when I'm preaching, I just want to bring some encouraging words for the future, for us as a church, as we move forward into the new things that God has got planned for us. And so I want to read from Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, to begin with, through to verse 20. So quite a long passage, but it's a fantastic passage of Scripture. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a gold band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. We thank the Lord for his wonderful, powerful word. As I say, I'm beginning a series, just a five-week series, but it'll be over a number of weeks because Pastor Joel will be preaching on some Sundays. But I wanted us to look as a church, as how, as we move forward as a church, and this applies not only to this church and its particular situation, but to any church really, what sort of people do we need to be? What kind of people do we need to be? And so I've said there's five things. I'm sure there are many more, but of these five I want to concentrate on over the next few times that I preach. First of all, a need to be vision driven. Secondly, a people instructed in the word of God. Thirdly, trained in righteousness. Fourthly, advancing towards eternity. And finally, leaving a legacy. Now, if you were listening carefully, you might have spotted there's a mnemonic there. V-I-T-A-L, vital. These things, I believe, are vital as we move forward as a church. The first one is vision-driven, captured by a vision. And so we come to the passage that I read How does that fit in with the idea of being vision driven? Well, often we hear about churches and the vision of the church. And usually it's couched in terms of we've got a vision to reach so many people. We've got a vision to disciple certain people. We've got a vision to impact our community and so on. And that's all very well. But I believe unless we are captured by a vision of Jesus, none of those things will ever happen. Yes, it's good to reach out with the gospel. We're commanded by Jesus to do so. Yes, we want to impact our community. Yes, we want to bring the help and the care and the love of God to people. Absolutely. But I believe if we have a true vision of who Jesus is, who God is, then that will inspire us. And when things get rough and when things get problematic, we will still be captured by that vision and we will press on. Unless we have that big picture of God, that awesome picture of who Jesus is, then when trouble comes, our feelings will take over, our emotions will take over. Our circumstances will start to dictate what we do. But what should dictate what we do is our vision of who God is and who we are in Christ. And so let's look at this passage. Context is so important. We are told that John, that's the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was so close to Jesus, now exiled in prison on the island of Patmos. It tells us that he was on the island for the word of God. We believe that because he was so steadfast in his love of God, that he was exiled by the Romans to this island of Patmos. With very few people. In fact, he was alone on this particular time. Simply because he was a Christian. And today there are Christians around the world who are isolated, alone, because of their testimony for the Lord. So there he is, he's exiled, and yet it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was worshipping, despite his circumstances. He was worshipping. A little bit like Paul when he's in prison and telling the Philippians to rejoice at all times. And so we see John worshipping. It says it's on the Lord's day. Now, at this point, it's probably not on a Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. It wasn't until the 4th century that Sunday became the equivalent of the Jewish Sabbath. But every year in the Roman Empire in those days, there was a day when everybody had to go before an idol of the emperor, to the Caesar, and declare that Caesar is Lord. And that became known as the Lord's Day. And many Christians did not do that for obvious reasons. They would not succumb to that idolatry. And so for many Christians, that meant exile and punishment. But for John here on the island, he said, on that day when the whole world, apart from the Christians, was worshipping Caesar, he was in the Spirit worshipping God. No matter where we are, we can be in the Spirit worshipping God. And what he sees is an amazing vision of a figure moving among lampstands. Lampstands that are burning brightly. And this person is absolutely majestic. When you start to consider the vision that John saw, it was simply amazing. It talks of this figure having blindingly white hair. Perhaps that's a symbol of the purity of the person who John is seeing. He's got glowing feet. He's got eyes like a flame of fire. Eyes like the flame of fire. Strong, powerful, glowing feet. Like burnished bronze or fine brass, as if it had been refined in the furnace, the NKJV says. He's got a powerful voice, like the voice of many waters. Perhaps you may one time in your life visited the site of a waterfall and you hear the many waters cascading down off the waterfall. And that perhaps gives you an insight in how powerful this voice was that John heard. He says in his right hand there were seven stars. He was holding stars. Out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. And we see that as being a picture of the word of God was as sharp as a two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. His face is glowing like the sun. What an amazing vision that John sees. It's a vision of Jesus' majesty. How awesome Jesus is. And John's reaction is quite understandable. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John is fearful. Who wouldn't be having an encounter with such an amazing looking person? And he falls at the feet of the person. And the first thing that is said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus laid his right hand on John and says, don't be afraid. And then he says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And if we remember John's gospel, we remember that on seven occasions Jesus said, I am, and in fact Pastor Joel used one of those I am statements in our time of communion, I am the bread of life. And so Jesus now comes to John and says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Wonderful, powerful, faith-inspiring statements for John, who was so fearful. John, who was alone. John, who had no companions in his imprisonment. And yet he knew that he had friends. He had brothers and sisters across the Mediterranean who loved Jesus as well. And here was Jesus. Remember, John had seen Jesus before transfigured. He was one of the three who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, along with Peter and James. He had seen Jesus, his whole countenance transfigured before. And yet, this time it seems even more powerful. Even more powerful vision of Jesus. He says, I am the first and the last. There's nothing before me, there's nothing after me. And everything in between is held by Jesus. He is the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the Greek, first and last letters. And between that, Jesus is everything in between. Everything in this universe is upheld by the word of God. And Jesus is at the center of it all. Hallelujah. This is the one we worship. This is the one we serve. He is the first and the last. He has the first word into our lives of faith, and he has the last word of faith. Hallelujah. I am he who lives and was dead. He's identifying again to John. Look, I am the same person you saw on that cross. I am the same person you saw alive again after the resurrection. John, I am the same person. My countenance may be bright, shining like the sun. It isn't marred like it was on the cross. It's brilliant. It's so bright, like a shining sun. And yet, John, I am the same person. I am the one that you walked the land of Galilee and Judea with. I'm the one you listened to. I'm the one you saw healing men and women, casting out demons. I'm the same Jesus. I'm the one you supped with, you ate with. I'm the same Jesus. I haven't changed. My countenance is now brilliant like the sun. But I'm still Jesus. And he says, not only am I alive now, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is the one we serve. This is the mighty God. I am he who lives, who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Jesus is alive today. That's the wonderful message of the gospel, the message we proclaim as Christians, that Jesus didn't stay dead. After he was laid in the tomb, he rose again on the third day. We remembered that on Resurrection Sunday a couple of weeks ago. And he ascended to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father in a position of all majesty and authority. And we believe he will come again. He is coming again to create a new heaven and a new earth, to take those who are his to be with him forever in heaven. Amen. This is our Jesus. This is the one we love. This is the one we serve. I am alive forevermore. Amen. So be it. And what does Jesus say to him? What does Jesus say to John? He's basically saying to John, look what I'm doing and look what I will do. Now, the book of Revelation will go on, and John has the amazing vision of heaven and what will come in the future. And at times his words just aren't adequate enough to express what he sees. But this is just the beginning of the wonderful revelation of Jesus. John will see Jesus high and lifted up in the throne room. He'll see him as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He'll see him coming as the conquering King in his revelation. He'll see him bringing all things under his feet. This is our God. This is our Jesus. And Jesus is saying to John, look, this is what I'm doing. And this is what I'm going to do. And he's saying about these lampstands and the lights and the angels. Some translations say the messengers. Some believe the angels are the leaders of the churches. And he names a particular seven churches which are in modern day Turkey. Most Christians will say they are representative of the church worldwide even today. And Jesus is saying that first of all, as he moves around the lampstands, he said, I'm in the midst of them. Jesus is in every one of our churches. Did you know that? Sadly, there are some places which call themselves churches, which Jesus would not even recognize. I pray that our church is one he recognizes. Jesus is moving in our midst. Jesus knows exactly what is happening in our churches. In chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus would dictate letters to those seven churches he names. And he knows everything that's happening in those churches and how faithful or lacking in faith they have been. How some have stood up well in the time of persecution and some have not. And he gives warnings and he gives promises to those churches. Because he knows the condition of every single one. And he knows the condition of our churches. He knows the conditions of our hearts. He knows the condition and situation of your leaders, of our leaders in our church. He says it's the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Jesus is saying the churches and their leaders are in my hands. Amen. It's interesting that Pastor Joel read from John chapter 6, because that's where I'm going to read now. And repeat those important words that Jesus said in chapter 6. I'm just going to read the one verse, verse 37, where it says this. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Whatever is placed by the Father into Jesus' hands will never be lost. If you are in Jesus' hands, if you've committed yourself into his hands, you will not be lost. Indeed, we have the promise that on the last day, we will rise with him. When Jesus comes, there will be a generation that will not taste death. Those who are dead when he comes will rise from the grave and meet him in the air as he ascends with a loud shout and the trumpet call. The dead in Christ will rise, and those who are still living when he comes will rise and meet him in the air. This isn't fantasy, this is the truth of God's promise. He will not lose us. He knows each one of us. As that hymn I read earlier talks, my name is written on his hands. My name is graven, written on his heart. He will not let us go. Remember, whatever is placed by the Father into Jesus' hands will never be lost. How can we apply this today? As I said at the beginning, we need to be vision driven. And I believe if we've got that huge, big vision of who Jesus is, how powerful God is, how loving, how merciful he is, how faithful he is, then we will be driven by that vision to serve him, to love him, and to love those we come into contact with, whether through social media, as we have to today, or when the lockdowns begin to lift, meeting personally. So my challenge this morning is this: how big is your vision of God? How do you see God? Is he majestic? Is he powerful? Is he the almighty God? Or is he, the old man upstairs, the one who we bend to our wills? No, no, no. God's will be done in all things. We do not manipulate God. We do not dictate to God. He is awesome. He is the center of all things. He's the creator, sustainer, upholder of everything. And he has, out of his great love for us, sent Jesus to be our savior, so that we can be held in Jesus' hands, held in the hands of love, hands of God. How big is your vision of God? How big is your vision of the church? Remember how important it was for Jesus to talk to John here about the state of the churches, because Jesus is concerned about his church. He gave himself for the church. In Ephesians, a wonderful letter by Paul, the third chapter ends with these words. It's a doxology, it's a praise for God. He says this: now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's, yes, we claim that as a promise for ourselves, don't we? Often we say it's a personal thing. God can do an amazing thing of more than we can think or imagine. And some has got some pretty big imaginations. But he's talking here, Paul, about what God wants to do through his body, the church, that he might be glorified through his church. I believe if we are going to move forward as a church, and we know that things will change here at New Life as we obey the Lord, we need to have that vision of who he is. Because when things get difficult and things start changing, we come back to the fact we have an unchanging God in heaven. We come back to the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is unchanging. We come back to the fact that the word of God stands sure. Amen. So I believe that we need to regain a vision of God's glory, of his majesty, and of his power. And then those visions we have about reaching the lost and spreading the gospel and bringing hope to people through the gospel, those things will flow out of the vision we have of Jesus. Because if you've got a small vision of God, you'll do small things for God. And you'll think God will be satisfied with those things. Now I know we can only do what we can do, and God equips us, some to do great things, some to do smaller things, but they're all important in God's hands. But if we haven't got a big vision of God, we will not attempt anything for God. So New Life, Pentecostal Church Hemel, my challenge to you, those who are watching now, those who will watch this video later, and if you're in another church and you have come and just had a look at us, well, your church, the same thing applies. Let's regain a vision of his glory, his majesty and his power. And let's remember, as Jesus said, he's alive forevermore and he has the keys of all things. The future is held in the hands of Jesus. It's not in the hands of our prime ministers or our presidents, our leaders, or associations, or governments. The future is held by God. All of our times are in his hands. The future, my future, your future, the future of the church, and the future of the world is in the hands of God. Let me assure you of that. God is still in control. He's the sovereign Lord of all the earth. And all praise and honour and glory be unto him, the one who lives and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. This is our God. This is our splendid God. This is our magnificent God. This is our glorious God. This is our majestic God. And I want to commend him to you. Get a bigger vision of him. In all his splendor, start to catch a vision like John caught that vision. Maybe read that passage again. Put yourself in John's place and say, Lord, how majestic you are. How magnificent you are. All glory and honor and power belong to you, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I hope all God's people said, and join me in saying, Amen. Next time, I'll go on from V for vision to I for instructed in the word. Praise God.